Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be addressing the question, is it okay for a Christian's primary community of friends to be outside the church?
Great question. Think that probably most of us have unbelieving friends. There's probably a lot of us that have really close unbelieving friends and need to know, you know, where should the boundaries be? Should there be boundaries? I think this is a really good question. It's something that will be helpful to a lot of folks.
Yes, absolutely. We need to start with the obvious that we must have relationships outside the church.
Yeah. And you know, that may be news to some people. I hope it's obvious, but we have to have relationships outside the church. 1 Corinthians 5 has a situation where there's a man in the church who is having a sexual relationship with his stepmother. So there's an incestuous thing going on there. And Paul's counsel to the church in Corinth is to put this man out of the church. And he says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5, 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy, or swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would have to go out of the world. So basically what he's saying is, look, I told you to put the guy claiming to be a believer out of the church and have nothing to do with him. I'm not saying don't have anything to do with unbelievers, ungodly unbelievers, because he says, then you would need to go out of the world. Mm. Now, why is that a bad thing? Why is it a bad thing in Paul's mind for us to have nothing to do with the world? Well, obviously, because one of the last things that Jesus said to us before ascending to heaven was in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, what we call the Great Commission, where he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, if we're going to make disciples of all nations, it kind of assumes that you have to go among unbelievers, because you can't make disciples of disciples. I've heard people argue before that, well, Jesus was really only talking to the apostles there.
You're going to have to rule out a lot then.
Yeah. I'm still looking for a good hermeneutic for how you determine when he's only talking to the apostles and not everybody else.
Right.
But I find that when we turn over to Acts, we find that it wasn't just the apostles who were sharing the gospel and pushing that message out into the world. Because like you get into Acts 4, the apostles were definitely taking it on the chin, but the church prayed for boldness. And in Acts 4:31, we read, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. It just seems like the whole church understood that the part of the mandate of the church, of the believing community, is to evangelize. The New Testament doesn't seem to envision the church being cloistered off, alone, isolated from the world in these small societies where we have exclusively Christian towns with Christian doctors and lawyers and dog catchers and, you know, that just seems really foreign if you read the New Testament. And then we go over to Matthew 5 and some of the metaphors that Jesus uses about the church, particularly things like salt and light. Mm. Those metaphors assume interaction with the world.
Right.
In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's just part of who we are as believers to be among unbelievers, shining the gospel of the glory of Christ to the world, so that the world on the last day glorifies the Father. So we have to have relationships with the world in order to be the church. And that may seem kind of counterintuitive, but in order to be the church, we have to have relationships with the world. But getting to the question that's been asked, should those relationships with the world be our primary relationships? Should our primary community of friends be outside the body of Christ?
No, sir. The believer's primary community of friends should be the body of Christ.
Yes, and there are good reasons to say that. The believer's primary community of friends should be the body of Christ. And there's a number of passages that I would appeal to for this. First of all, I would go to 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18, where Paul writes, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? Mm. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Now, some people have taken those verses, particularly that where in verse 17, where he says, "Therefore, go out from their midst." Some people have taken that to mean, well, you just need to have nothing to do with them. But when we interpret Scripture with Scripture, we take those verses we mentioned a moment ago about the Great Commission and 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, you can't take yourself out of the world. Then we understand that Paul isn't saying don't have anything to do with unbelievers. It's just your closest relationships can't be with unbelievers. That seems to be the thrust of 2 Corinthians 6. And 1 John 2, I think, is helpful to help us understand why this is. Paul gets into this in 2 Corinthians 6, but in 1 John 2, 15 to 16, the Apostle John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Now, when John uses the word world there, it's likely that he's not necessarily talking about individuals, lost people, but the world system. Don't love this world system. But you can't separate the lost from that world system, because 1 John 5:19 reads, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So lost people, those who don't belong to God, they lie in the power of the evil one. They belong to the devil. And Paul indicates that same thing in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2, and Colossians 1:13. There are only two kingdoms in existence. There are a lot of earthly kingdoms all over the planet, but spiritually speaking, there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Or as Paul says in Colossians 1:13, there's the kingdom of the beloved Son, and there's the domain of darkness. You're in one or the other. And those who are not saved, those who do not belong to the kingdom of the beloved Son, they are members of the domain of darkness. They are in the power of the evil one. And Ephesians 4:18 and 19 says of them, of those who are in the domain of darkness, he says, they are darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So what we find in the New Testament is that unbelievers, they serve a different God. They have a different worldview. Ultimately, and of course they would disagree with this, but the Scriptures testify to it, they hate the one true God. Mm. Now, we already have hearts prone to wander. We can't afford for the main influences in our lives to be those who hate God, who would pull us further away from him. And when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, he's saying, look, this doesn't fit for you to be yoked tightly together with unbelievers. It doesn't fit. It's unnatural, spiritually speaking. You've got nothing in common. Your interaction with the world is to be for the purpose of evangelizing them. When they're your primary community of friends, they will drag you down. And if we look at the church in Acts, we see believers spending tons of time together. Believers, you know, they're in each other's homes all the time, having meals together. They evangelized the lost. They scattered to evangelize, but they gathered together for close relationships. And I think that's the biblical pattern. I think that's what we find not just in Acts, but the epistles would seem to say that. Be somewhat suspicious of the world. Reserve your close relationships for believers, because we need those sharpening relationships of other believers to spur us on to greater devotion to the Lord. I think if we're all honest, Kyle, we probably all have examples of unbelievers that we've been very close to who have pulled us away from the Lord. It is much more difficult for us to pull them to the Lord.
Right.
Because of that whole thing of our hearts are prone to wander.
Absolutely.
We need a close community of believers where we find our closest relationships to keep us stirred up in our devotion to the Lord. It's that Hebrews 10, 20, 24 and 25 thing. We've got to be meeting with the saints, considering how to stir one another up to love and devotion all the time. We need that. We need it all the time. When our main community of friends are people who have a completely different worldview, worship a different God, hate God, it's horribly spiritually detrimental.
Yes, and if you love those group of friends that you may have in the world, if you love them, your goal and intention should be, I want them to join my family in Christ.
Exactly.
And then actually have life-giving fellowship, genuine, long-lasting, eternal relationships.
Absolutely.
So you're kind of maintaining a lie if your central group is in the world and you're remaining with them. Do you not know that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord? And these people aren't going to be there if they don't know him. So why would your main fellowship be with them?
Right.
It makes no sense. It's counterintuitive.
It is.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
So I can see somebody asking, what if you already have really close friends who are unbelievers?
Yeah.
What do you do?
We may have people who would say, I don't have close friends in the church, and my main community of friends right now are unbelievers. So what do I do? Well, I don't think you need to break up with them or anything, but I would say slowly pull back while ramping up the gospel talk.
Yeah.
Because if you ramp up that gospel talk, they'll either be converted or they'll get tired of you and that situation will take care of itself. They're not going to want to hear that, or like I said, they'll be converted. At the same time, push into relationships in the church. Now I hear occasionally this kind of thing. My non-Christian friends are more loving and caring than my Christian friends. I've heard that before. And if that's the case, it makes me really sad. But if that's the case with certain people, it may be that church just doesn't understand biblical community yet. It may be that those Christian friends that you have need someone like you to show them what real Christian friendship looks like. Regardless of what the situation is, it doesn't change what the Bible says.
Right.
Your Christian friends will grow to be more caring the more they have someone like you lovingly sharpening them, and you will benefit from a committed community of saints more than you will with a group of unbelievers. That's just the way that it works. That's a spiritual reality. We don't need less biblical community. That just doesn't work.
Absolutely.
Biblically, we need more biblical community.
Amen. Yeah. Till next time.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.